Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and Glenn Gilbo. We welcome you to another Tiger Rag Radio. And on this frosty Tuesday night, hopefully everyone is, for the folks up in northeast Louisiana, north Louisiana, dealing with the ice storm. Thoughts and prayers are with you. Very difficult situation. Hopefully the power and the heat will be back on here shortly, and hopefully for those that are been impacted by the ice storm and tuning into our show, hopefully you'll find some enjoyment of it and take you away from the troubles of your life. But we do have a good show for you here lined up for you. Patrick Wright, the voice of the Lady Tigers, he will join us in about 30 minutes. LSU women's basketball, they've won five in a row, will likely win again Thursday when they take on Arkansas, and then they got another softie coming up on Sunday against Alabama, and then a big game coming up a week from Thursday against Texas. But they are playing very well right now, regardless of who they're playing at the moment. We got to talk transfer portal, of course. A big signee coming down on Friday night with Jordan Seaton to put the finishing touches on a great recruiting class, or great transfer portal class, that Lane Kiffin has been able to secure. So just absolutely fantastic stuff there from Lane Kiffin. And then we'll talk some baseball as well, as Nate Yeske will join us as well. So great show lined up here for us tonight. And guys, how you doing? How you dealing with the cold?
I haven't even noticed the cold. Is it cold?
Come on.
I'm still going through transfer portal withdrawals. So
yeah.
Bad. I mean, I just can't get over the fact that this thing's over with. It was such a rush, man.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive what has been able to happen. Your thoughts on the Jordan Seaton signing?
I thought my biggest thought is that Lane Kiffin has done a phenomenal job. I've mentioned this before, but he's just come in and completely re-energized the LSU football program. He's brought a work ethic and a tenacity to, you know, if it was clear in this transfer portal that he was able to get Sam Levitt and Jordan Seaton the way he did, just never giving up, going above and beyond, jumping on planes, going to Atlanta, going to Knoxville, respectively, to sign both of them. Or get them eventually signed, I should say.
Or just show
interest.
Show interest. That's very important during recruiting, you know, to be there. Like, remember when Ed Orgeron showed up at the airport just to see one of his guys take off? That defensive end, I forget his name now. But, yeah, showing up and being at games, you know, that's the same philosophy, what Lane was doing, being in Knoxville and Atlanta.
And he doesn't rest. I mean, he turned around this week, even though the portal was closed, and after Seaton basically had been signed, sealed, and delivered. And he was all over South Louisiana, and, well, Louisiana in general, at high schools.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's coming up, too. You know, a week from Wednesday, February 4th, is the high school signing day. And what's cool about this class, he's basically got a high school class in it. I wrote about that the other day. There's 21 kids that are underclassmen, And quite a few of those are unranked, haven't played much. But, you know, that's kind of like a high school class, but they've had that taste of college. Like the USC quarterback, he's barely played. But
Hassan.
He's better than like a guy out of high school, you know, because they've been there. And there's some projects in there. But, you know, he's also got like he's got 9 of the top 10 ranked guys. He's got the number one quarterback, the number one offensive tackle.
And 41.
Yeah.
41.
Who would have thought that they would have more portal players than degrees of temperature it's been the last few days at night, man? I mean,
it's amazing.
But I've been so happy just to see like 35 on my little temperature deal in the house.
I know. It's like, all right, wow, yeah.
I can turn the water off now.
No, but I mean, you know, seriously, with Lane Kiffin, this is the best college transfer portal class of all time.
Well, it's only since 22. But
that's
okay. I know what you're saying. And, you know, not one number one signing class coach made the playoffs the next year.
I think that might change.
I think it will. The 22, Lincoln Riley had a really good season, but they didn't make the playoffs. That was only the 14 playoff. And you know, Lane had the number one class in 24 and barely missed the playoffs. Of course, Kelly had the number one class this year and missed the playoffs by about four games.
Yeah. and think about that. Think about the difference between last year's number one transfer
18 guys to 41.
Yeah, but not only that, the quality.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had some studs in that class, but only a handful. He's got like a dozen, like, really studs.
But can you imagine
class.
If Brian Kelly would have had to rebuild his entire wide receiver room in a transfer portal, rebuild his entire quarterback room in a transfer portal, rebuild his entire offensive line in the transfer portal?
Yeah.
I mean, LSU's offense next year, with the exception of Caden Durham and Harlan Berry is basically completely rebuilt.
Yeah.
Trade as green.
Yeah, and you know, people would say, well, Lane's got a lot of money, and you know, some of these fan bases that are mad that he's not their coach, like Ole Miss, Florida State, Florida, and LSU rivalries, probably Alabama soon. You know, they're saying, oh, well, he's got all this money, he's just paying the players. Yeah, but he's also got to know which players to pick, you know. And that's why, and he's known as a talent guy. He's the best person at inventorying talent since Nick Saban retired, according to Nick Saban's friend, who's a good source. You know, so he's got that eye for talent.
So inventorying talent, meaning actually bringing in talent to his inventory.
Yeah, and seeing that they're good,
evaluating,
and getting
them. Yeah, evaluating them, bringing them in, closing the deal.
Right.
Now the big challenge, of course, you know, you just said the number one transfer portal class hasn't made the playoff the next year, but I believe he's going to make the playoff. I've believed he's going to turn this thing around quickly, and it sounds like you may have come around to that same belief right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent on this team, but I think that stat about the portal, what it proves is that it does take a while to get them all together.
Well,
you know?
But
he's getting better at that because he's been doing that for 5 years. Most coaches haven't.
But
Kelly only did it 1 year.
But he was very, very careful at the event he had to speak at last week.
Right.
Where he said, now we've got them in the door. Now it's a matter of completely bringing them together, building the chemistry.
Yeah, and
he's like, that's not a given.
Yeah, and look, they could have a great season next year and you know, lose 2 or 3 games and not make the playoffs. I mean, it's a possibility because they do have a tough schedule, or at least on paper, and you never know who's really going to be good.
I'll tell you who they're not going to lose
know.
To. I don't know if
my mic's on now. Clemson.
Well, and I don't think they're going to lose to Clemson, but that wasn't the one form of. They're not going
to
lose to Ole Miss.
Teams. He's had no business losing.
They're not going to lose to Ole Miss.
He's lost to LSU when he didn't have any business.
They're not
going to
lose to Ole Miss.
And
say that again, so we'll replay the tape after.
Okay, they're not going to lose. He's not going to lose to Ole Miss.
Okay, all right.
What about? They don't play Kentucky, but there's a team like that, I'm sure, on their schedule.
They do play Kentucky. Oh, they go to Kentucky.
Okay.
They play Tennessee, too.
They play the 3-week stretch of Alabama,
Texas,
and Tennessee is very, very difficult. I thought it was a blow that the college football playoff wasn't expanded.
I told you it wasn't going to be.
But that's not the point I'm making.
That's the point.
The point I'm making for LSU 2026, and I'm just thinking 2026, this team could be very talented. This team could be – it could take a while for them to get going. And even if they're playing their best football in November, that is a very difficult stretch, those three games. And the fact that they could go 9-3 and still be a really good team, but that's 9-3 is not going to cut it to get into the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, sometimes things just happen. I mean, look, Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss team in 24 was probably – He thought it was better than his 25 team. He didn't go into 25 thinking it was a playoff team.
No,
that team kind of overachieved because that's kind of how the portal is. Sometimes it takes a while, so you never know. Crazy stuff could happen. He could get in. He could not get in.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say this. Lane Kiffin just built the most talented roster in college football for 2026. Agree or disagree?
I would abstain because I don't know either way.
Yeah, I'd have to really dive into rosters.
And you got to remember, Jordan Seaton was the number one offensive tackle in the portal.
Well, he was still one of the top offensive tackles coming out of high school, too.
And he scored, but he scored higher than any other offensive tackle in the country.
But there's plenty other players that don't enter the portal. That's what you got to remember.
Yeah, but he scored higher than anybody else.
A quarterback hit all season long.
No, but that's what, if you're going to compare.
Freshman
them.
All-American. I mean,
was not in the SEC, the greatest conference ever, years ago.
That's true. Lane Kiffin built a quarterback room that's arguably second to none right now.
But right now, it's just a roster.
I would say that was
just a roster right now.
It is just a roster. It's not a team.
That's right. And Kiffin, again, said that louder than anybody. Last week at that press thing he was at.
It's going to take some time. And you know, LSU fans should not, you know, just assume they're gone, okay? Because that's how you get disappointed.
No, but they should be excited. Well, sure. And they should be fired
that's
up.
Different.
And that's why LSU has sold over 33,000 or 36,000 new season tickets.
They're going to be fun to watch. It's going to be entertaining just to see who plays from the 41 portal guys. But it's going to be fun and exciting and an interesting season, even if they don't make the playoffs.
Well, I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be – this is a – what he's done already is great. There's no doubt about it. They went into this whole thing knowing that they had to strike gold through the transfer portal to give themselves a chance, and they certainly did. Now, trying to put this all together, I think, is a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, but I think that they can do it. I'm not, you know, I don't have the pessimism or even the skepticism that I would have had in the past 2 or 3 years at LSU.
You have a very good coach. You have a good offensive coordinator. NFL teams are calling on him.
You have a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. Good offensive line coach.
You have an improved defensive roster.
A much better coaching staff.
You have a much better everything. I mean, and you have, saying it again and again and again, a rejuvenated fan base. I guarantee you the stadium's going to be packed next year.
But if Sam Levitt hurts his abdomen, it could change everything. Yeah, just like it did last year.
But they have two backups right now
yeah.
that are better. That quarterback room is the best it's been
yeah.
Yeah. In a long time.
In years.
But there's a big drop from Leavitt to the other two. I know what you're saying.
I'm not dismissing that.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. We got a lot of other stuff to get into as well. Garrett Nussmeier, by the way, trying to build up his draft stock. Good article by Glenn Gilbo right now on TigerRag.com. We'll hear a little bit from Garrett as well. So a lot to get to as we continue on here with Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, we're back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. Over in Mobile, Alabama, Senior Bowl practices are underway. Garrett Nussmeier actually on the field for the first time on Tuesday, and it's a big week for Garrett as he tries to rebuild his draft stock. He, obviously, as we all know, going into the 2025 season, you were looking at a guy that was probably a first-round pick. Now, as it stands now, before any of the practices begin at the Senior Bowl, you're looking at a guy that might be drafted anywhere between the third and the sixth round. And we all know he had that ab injury. He talked a little bit about it here. I believe let's go with Cut 18, Andre, on what he's told the reporters in Mobile, Alabama about the injury. And this was something that it was a game-time decision on whether he was actually going to be able to participate in the Senior Bowl. He did not accept an invitation until like the first week of January. And usually players accept invitations to the Senior Bowl sometime in December or right after the regular season. But he had to make sure that he was healed, ready to go. And here's him talking a little bit about that.
I had that re-injure towards the end of the season. And so I've been working really hard to try and get back healthy. And so as soon as we realized that, hey, okay, I can go do this, it was a no-brainer.
So
was that really Garrett Nussmeier?
That was Garrett Nussmeier. I don't understand why they don't have the greatest of audio there at the Senior Bowl. But
sounded like a robot.
It might have been the AI version of Garrett Nussmeier.
Well, he tended to sound like a robot in interviews.
Yeah, that's true.
He had so much media training. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but and it was interesting when he was on off the bench with Matt Flynn and Jacob Hester on ESPN 104.5 and 104.9 in Baton Rouge, where they didn't, and I know you have it in your article, Glenn, that's up at TigerRag.com, they didn't know the exact injury until about a month ago, that it was what the official diagnosis was?
That's what Matt said, but he wasn't really specific. I mean, it may well still be abdomen related, which I would find it hard to believe if it's not. But you know, he may have the technical word for it and exactly what it is. And then he also said, and a plan to come back from it is what he also said. Like he really didn't have a good plan to come back from it until a month ago.
So, but he still didn't name.
No, he didn't name it. He did not name it.
Yeah. Well.
And that happens often with injuries, with players about to be drafted, and there's going to, it always happens usually around the combine, the truth about an injury comes out, you know, and then sometimes the agents lie about it and it affects the draft. So the truth needs to come out. The truth will come out about his injury before the draft.
He did say in that interview on OTB, and I think he even said it during this press conference, that it affected his core so that he could not throw any type of throw, any type of pass.
With torque.
Velocity, a torque.
And spin. Yeah, well, we've been writing that since September.
I know,
that it was core. But it was nice to hear him say
it. But just go back to, there's nothing wrong with him.
There's nothing wrong with him. Posturing by him, too.
He's fine.
Him, you're talking about Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and there was – well, yeah, he said it, but Garrett said it too in interviews, you know, but that's what they do. I mean,
I remember him saying no comment a lot of times.
No, he talked about it a little bit. There's a link to it in my story. But you could tell just by watching, regardless of what anyone says, he was not throwing the ball the same.
Okay, so you think he'd get
– And the results were very different.
So you guys think he gets drafted?
Yes, he gets drafted.
You think he gets drafted in the on the first 2 days?
Depends how he does this week.
Yeah, I think this week, this is what ESPN's Jordan Reed said about Garrett Nussmeier. He'll be the most impressive passer this week because his anticipation and accuracy will shine in this setting. He also says Nussmeier has a daredevil mentality and isn't shy about throwing into tight windows over the middle of the field or outside the numbers. His experience with alternating protections at the line of scrimmage will also stand out. After a disappointing injury-plagued season, Nussmeier will be looking to recapture the early-round buzz he had entering 2025. And speaking to scouts over the past few weeks, the highest projections he's heard, this is Jordan Reed from ESPN, round three, but others had round five or six grades on him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, our boy Mel Kiper had him as a top seven quarterback. I don't know if that would mean that's probably second round or third round.
Wait, as of now? As of
early January when he entered the Senior Bowl. He's done nothing since
then. Yeah, I think they're projecting right now, they're projecting two quarterbacks, possibly three, to go in the first round. And I think that depends on if Trinidad Chambliss enters the draft.
We got 30 seconds here. To what degree did Nussmeier's injury torpedo this season?
I believe that if he was the 2024 Garrett Nussmeier, they would have been more effective passing, but I still think he was a total misfit for that scheme, especially with the worst offensive line in the history of mankind.
All right.
A little emotional. I think they would have been much better, but they probably still would have lost two or three games just like they did the year before.
Yeah.
And the offensive line was worse than the previous season. They actually found a way to run the ball worse than the previous season. So they'd have been better, but not playoffs.
Patrick Wright, voice of the Lady Tigers, will join us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
We continue from our Super Chevy Dealer Studios. Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn of Tiger Rag. Andre Champagne, our producer tonight. And let's get to our first guest. That is the voice of the Lady Tigers, Patrick Wright. The LSU women's basketball team now up to number five in the coaches' poll. 19-2, 5-2 in the SEC. They've won five in a row. A nice win over Florida on Tuesday night, 89-60, after maybe 15 minutes or so of sluggish play, some turnovers, some missed shots, but LSU eventually righted the ship. And a couple more games coming up inside the Maravich Center this week, Thursday night against Arkansas, Saturday at 11 a.m. against Alabama, or Sunday at 11 a.m. against Alabama. Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, doing good, doing good. Glad to be kind of on a good winning streak here after a rough start. Things look like they're heading the right direction.
Well, what do you think are the biggest differences between this team now and what it was at the start of SEC play?
Defense. I think it took a couple of games to kind of get used to the speed of the SEC after the non-conference schedule. Yeah, and you've got a point guard in Jada Richard who is playing as good a defense as anybody in this league right now. And she absolutely shuts down point guards from other teams who score a lot of points. She held Liv McGill of Florida 10 points below her average last night, gave her six early, and then kind of figured out how to guard her and then closed her down the rest of the way. And then, you know, the freshmen have grown up a little bit. Grace Knox has strung together some good games after a couple of rough ones to begin with. But doing what they're supposed to do. On paper, this was a game where LSU should have dominated the boards last night. That's what they did. It was a game where they should have won by 20-plus. That's what they did. So they're methodically taking care of their business right now, and they're starting to hit their stride.
Hey, Patrick, they not only have, you know, dominated the boards last night, but they've pretty much been dominating the boards since those first two losses in the SEC. Do you think it's because they have such strong post players this year that they're now able to do that? I know the guards are contributing to the rebounds, but is it predominantly because they're able to control the inside with the posts?
Well, I think it's more, and Coach has been saying this for a while now, that she uses the term rebound by committee. You know, you don't have an Angel Reese or an Anissa Mora who you can count on for 15 a night when you need it, but if you're, Koval had 10 last night, and then Amaya Joyner had 10 on any given night, depending on which player. So I don't think you're going to see the huge nights, but you're going to see two or three players who can maybe get 8 or 9 a night. And what you said as well, the guards have started to rebound. Even, you know, Richard will get 3 or 4. Flage will get 5 or 6. Michaela Williams will get her share. So it's everybody kind of doing their job and adding a few to make up for the huge numbers that Angel and Morrow used to put up.
They're still scoring at a very high clip, but they're getting their scoring from pretty much everywhere, it seems like. They're not dependent upon Michaela or Flage or you know, anyone in particular to score. Do you think that's good, or do you think it's going to need – they're going to need somebody to step up in the big games?
Well, I think – Michaela's had some struggles of late. She kind of got rolling last night. Flage has not shot particularly well in league play. The one thing I was dead wrong about is when we were scoring all those points in the preseason, I thought to myself, you know, because Jada was only averaging about 6 or 7 points, and I told myself, and anybody who would listen, hey, look, you know, I don't think we're going to need Jada to score a whole bunch of points. But she's averaging about 15 in league play, and we have needed a lot of those points. So I think having her as that extra threat takes some of the pressure off of Michaela and off of Flage to have to show up and score 20 points a game every night, because we've actually done well without them playing their best. So I think it's a good thing that we're starting to kind of share it a little bit.
What do you think about these next two or three games? I mean, obviously Arkansas is not South Carolina or Texas, and neither is Alabama. What do they need to do in those two games besides win? What do they need to do?
Well, Alabama can be a little tricky. They beat us at their place last year in an overtime game. Flage, that was a game toward the end of the year where she was hurt a little bit, was trying to play through it and just didn't play well. So you got to kind of get your attention a little bit just because you know what they did to you last year. Arkansas is not good. But just focus on the things. Again, you look at what matchups you should dominate, continue doing what you're doing. If this team shows up and plays their game, Arkansas absolutely cannot beat them, and Alabama would have a hard time beating them. So do what you do, take care of your home court, and then get these next two, and then be ready to see if you can go win a rematch in Austin.
And then, of course, South Carolina here on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, don't want to look too far ahead, but that's I wish we didn't have Texas coming up right in front of that. But if you get these next couple to get to 8-2 in the league, you're going to be right there at the top, and with playing the two teams who are in front of you. So the LSU kind of controls their destiny as far as how high they want to get in the league standings before it's all over with.
Patrick, has Kim, you know, traditionally, at least since she got the LSU, she hasn't put a lot of emphasis on the SEC race or winning an SEC title. But last night on the television SEC network, the broadcasters kind of emphasized that she's putting a little more emphasis on the SEC this year. Are you picking up any of that from her?
A little bit, you know, because in some of our visits, we talked briefly about standings and, you know, hey, you go win a couple games, let's just kind of see what happens. As we all well know, you don't have to win this league to win a championship, as we did it 3 years ago, didn't finish at the top. But I think now, with as competitive as it is, and you know you can play with Texas because you beat them, hey, why not? Why not go win one? It's not the end-all, be-all, but if you can add that to your collection, it's not a bad thing. And, of course, that puts you in a good place for seeding for the NCAA tournament if you can win it. So I'd say a little more emphasis. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Patrick, how do you look at the league this year as compared to maybe the last couple of years? About as strong as it's been in a long time, right? Maybe South Carolina is beatable. Maybe South Carolina is beatable this year, but now you got some new faces there, and Kentucky and Vanderbilt and Tennessee has had a very strong season.
Oh, this league is head and shoulders way better than it was when Coach Mulkey entered the league. You know, her first year, she took that team that she inherited with Kayla Pointer, who, you know, was an All-America type player, and the rest of the pieces, and took that to a top four finish in the SEC. I'm not sure that team would even be top eight this year, as good as the league is. Not, and no, obviously, discredit to them. But as you mentioned, Kentucky and Vanderbilt are much better. Georgia's better. Ole Miss has gotten better. We've got 10 teams ranked in the top 25 right now. That kind of tells the story. This league, every night, you got a challenge. You got a couple. Arkansas is not great, and a couple others, but you got 10, 11 teams that on any given night can give you a hard time. And it's been fun. It really has, to see this many teams as competitive as they are, and it's going to come right down to the end.
So, Patrick, we're coming to the end here and got to wrap this up pretty quick, but you were honored by LSU and Coach Mulkey recently for 35 years of service as on the radio, broadcasting the games. How does the SEC compare this year to 35 years ago?
Well, I will tell you, there were a ton of Hall of Fame coaches back in the 90s, and then we had kind of a drop-off, and now I think it's picked back up, and I think we're right where we were back in the mid-90s.
I got it.
What about the competition?
Oh, the competition is – I mean, it was only a 10-team league back then, but every night you were going against somebody who had a Hall of Fame coach on the sidelines. And we had a couple of tough years in those mid-90s before Coach Gunner got it rolling again. So that, to me, that used to be the golden era of this league, but I think we're entering a new phase of the new golden era.
All because of NIL. All because of NIL, Patrick.
I wouldn't doubt it in the league.
Yeah. All right, man. I know you got your own show to do here with Coach Kim Mulkey, but we appreciate your time, and nice to be home this week, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I'm glad to finally unpack a bag for a change.
All right. Thanks a lot. The voice of the Lady Tigers.
Thanks,
the longtime voice of the Lady Tigers, Patrick Wright. We'll take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo as we continue on with the show. We were just talking with Patrick Wright, some women's basketball, men's basketball. Well, not as good, obviously. A spirited game in Fayetteville on Saturday, but LSU comes up short, so they're now 1-5 in SEC play, right? Am I right on that?
1-6.
1-6. Oh, it's even worse than I thought.
Yeah, but.
Oh, here
but,
we go. But, here's but, the but, and but, here's, okay, but, go ahead. Let's
but
go.
But Ken Pom still has them 42nd in the rankings, and the net has them 46, and if they can go 7-4, they can still make the NCAA tournament.
My eyes tell me they're not a very good
team. If they can go 7-4.
My eyes. And
I didn't say they could. I said if they could.
I think they have a chance to get within a couple of games of 500 over the next few weeks and then maybe hover around that point if they can finish.
If they go 7-4, they would be 8-10.
Yeah.
The next three games are somewhat winnable, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mississippi
yeah.
State at South Carolina, Georgia, and then they host Arkansas again.
Yeah, I would say all four of those games, they have a chance to go 3-1 in
well,
those four games.
I mean,
games.
You have to, honestly, you look at what they did at Arkansas, against Arkansas, at Arkansas. You have to think that they've got a pretty good record against Arkansas in the PMAC.
Yeah, the first year Matt McMahon beat him.
Yeah, he's
Such an uphill battle though, and they've had trouble stopping the three pointer.
Defense in general has been their problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many games
they've scored? Teams have scored 50 or more in a half.
Yeah, I mean Kentucky, Arkansas, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. I mean, everybody just seems to open up on them, can of whoop on them in, you know, one of the halves. It's crazy.
It just seems to me it's the same story every time. It's either somebody else is going off on them or they have a crushing 4 minutes of horrible play. They don't make the right plays down the stretch.
And
we've watched this.
I know, but this team is not like
they
last
are.
Year. No, in that sense, yes, I agree with you.
The results are the same.
But the team itself, at least from an offensive standpoint,
they're better.
And a rebounding standpoint, they're more physical. They can rebound.
They're still not good enough.
I didn't say they were good enough. I'm saying that.
You were saying that they could get in the NCAA tournament if they won seven of their last 11. They can't. They're not that good.
Right
though.
Now, they would be, if they had any wins at all with those two rankings, they would be in the NCAA tournament.
But
right
they
now.
Don't. They figure out they figure out a way to lose.
Listen, I'm not saying this is going
this
to happen
now for 5 years.
I'm going
to
tell you straight up, all right, that if they go 7-4, the rest of the SEC.
4 years.
If they go 7-4 over the next 11 games,
they'll be 8-10.
They'll be 8-10, and with the current rankings that they have in the palm and the net, they will be in the NCAA tournament. But I'm not saying that's going to happen.
I'm not. It's not going to happen. I just don't see it. They are. Thomas is a nice player. I give you that, and they did look. But he looked much more in the groove. Max McKinnon is a nice player. Markel Sutton's a good mid-major player that's a nice piece to a really good team, but he's not on a really good team.
Okay, well, listen to me. The first year, Matt McMahon started from nothing. Last year, just to skip over the second year, which was his best year, but last year, up until right now, last year they were competing with teams that had 8 to 10 times the budget that they had for their roster.
But they still lose. It's the same thing every time. You watch that Arkansas game, that is the same game we've been watching for the last 4 years with
Arkansas
this program.
Arkansas is one of the best teams in the country right now.
No, they're only
when is 20th. LSU going to be one of the best teams?
Arkansas is one of the best teams in the country right now. I'm not saying they're one of the top two or three. I'm saying they're one of the best in the country. Vanderbilt is one of the best teams in the country right now.
And Vanderbilt was –
where was
horrible
this support,
2 years ago.
Where was this support during football season, Todd Horn?
This is not support. This is just a look.
How come sure it sounds like
it? If I were sitting here listening to Jeff, I would think this is the same exact team that they had last year and the year before.
Well, it is a different team, but the results are very similar, unfortunately.
So far, the results. But why are they ranked 46 in the Ken
Palm? I have no
idea. 42 in the Ken Palm.
My eye test tells me they're not that good of a team. They're okay.
They're getting a lot of mileage out of their win over SMU.
My eye test tells me that they are a much improved
offensive team. It's still not good enough.
And that they have a chance to win just about. I don't see a game on their schedule that they don't have a chance to win.
You don't let South Carolina come in here and steamroll you in the first half. Good team.
That was without.
I understand, but
DJ.
Still, you don't blow an 18-point lead. Good teams don't blow 18-point leads. I don't care who they're playing at home in the second half.
I didn't say they were a good team. I said compared to last year's team, which you painted in one same stroke, they're just like last year.
I'm like Glenn. The results are the same.
No, the record's the same. Is what we're saying.
But all these games are just.
It's the same thing right now. But
I,
if they go
I do
seven,
think, I think they have a chance to go 8-10. I really do.
And if they go 8-10. If they go 8-10 in the SEC, they will make the NCAA tournament.
Right. Maybe. They'll be on the bubble.
So
they'll have a chance. But the SEC is not
LSU is not losing Ole Miss in football, and LSU's winning or going to the NCAA tournament.
I didn't say that. Why do you have a problem understanding?
I understand what you're saying, but I just don't see it. We'll see. But I don't see it. I don't see it. All right, we got to take a break. One more segment to go here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. One more segment in hour number one. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, we got one more segment left to go in hour number one. Todd, you'll not be here for hour number two? You'll be on assignment?
I will not. I got to go battle an ice storm.
Okay. All right. I got a question here for you that I want to bring up to you. Verge Osbury brought it up in an interview with WAFB's Jacques Doucet about questioning whether LSU needs to continue to play a Power Four conference team in a non-conference in football because the last three Big Ten champions did not. And, of course, the SEC is requiring schools to – obviously, they're going up to a nine-game schedule this year and requiring schools to play another Power Four opponent. What's your reaction to Verge now speaking out against the idea, the guy that's been in charge of football schedules since – for a long time now, saying, well, maybe we just need to go out and play a couple mid-majors and an FCS team in a non-conference?
I think it's looking at what's been going on to see who makes the playoffs and how they've been judging victories more. And I think he's coming from more of a position of power now than just as an associate AD or whatever his long title was before. And I think he's just voicing his opinion and hoping that it catches some traction because they if they're going to have more teams in the playoffs, whether it's 12, 16, or 24 in the coming years, they're going to have a schedule that gives them some wins, especially with the competitiveness of the conference the way it is right now.
Right, and it makes sense that, you know, when it was a two-team playoff and a four-team playoff, you really had to be, obviously, really good in the regular season, and you had to have those really good victories sometimes. With the playoffs up to 12 teams and maybe more, you don't need them. It doesn't make sense to play those games, because you don't need the quality points. All you got to do is win whatever games you have on your schedule, and that's what these other teams have proven. So it's another ridiculous idea by Greg Sankey.
Yeah, why would you have to play, assuming Clemson's going to be good next year, why would you have to play a Clemson whenever you've got to play Alabama, Texas, and Tennessee back-to-back?
Yeah. I believe maybe there's part of this they're looking at it as, well, Florida's going to always play Florida State, and I think Greg is trying to keep it equal. Georgia's always going to be playing Georgia Tech. South Carolina's always going to be playing Clemson, so let's make sure everybody in the league can just to keep it somewhat equal.
I think LSU should bring back the Tulane series then, because Tulane's always in the playoffs. So
I wouldn't use the word always.
I agree.
And from a fan perspective, you love the big game, right? I mean,
but the playoffs are better than the big games. It's all about the playoffs now, and too many people are not adjusting to the playoffs. And if Sankey still wants to play those non-conference teams, he's not adjusting to the playoffs. Another adjustment to the playoffs is getting rid of the SEC championship game and all the other championship games, but they won't do it because they want the money. Mm.
We got to get more into this, talking about where Sankey's at. It just seems like there's a lot of pushback coming at him right now from all the different schools. And it doesn't seem like he's got a good handle on path forward here.
He's living in the past of the SEC, yeah. I think.
And I think some of this private equity is going to be his downfall.
Yeah.
Because he's against it, and they're going to need it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Matt Moscona will join us. We'll talk LSU transfer portal. This has been the first hour of Tiger Rag Radio. More coming up on the Super Chevy Dealer Studios.